Blog Talk Radio.
Bless you, brothers and sisters. God bless you tonight, and welcome to another live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am your host, Brother Manny, and we have a great topic tonight, a great lesson tonight. Have you ever just yelled out, God, why not? And of course, what am I talking about? I'm talking about prayer, right? My question to you tonight is, what do you do when God says no to your prayers? Has anyone ever been in that position when you pray for something, you're just relentless, bombarding heaven with these prayers, and it just doesn't seem to work out for you? Oh, that's what you think, or that's what you assume, because you don't get the answer that you want. Some of us, you know, we pray for things we're going through, we're suffering with pain or sickness in our bodies. Maybe we're suffering through a sick relative, whether it's a mom or dad or sister or brother, or whatever, you know, family, friend, relative. Maybe you're asking God to take away a pain or take away the hurt from the death of a loved one. Some of us, we're going through financial troubles in our marriage, maybe troubles with our children, you know, just can't seem to get our children to do what we are asking them to do, or, you know, stay on the path that we're trying to put them on. All of these different types of prayers, I'm sure at one point or another in your life, you feel like God isn't answering your prayer or giving you what you've asked for. That's what we're going to discuss tonight. Our scripture tonight derives from Romans 8 and 28, and we're going to have that discussion. Of course, I said we are, because I'm never alone. Now, before I bring on my brothers, I want to give you, the listening audience, an opportunity to call in, or at least have that number to call in. The number to call in with your question or comment, 563-999-3552. Again, that number is 563-999-3552. 952. You're more than welcome to call in with your question or your comment. We do ask that if it is a comment that you try to keep your comment between 2 and 3 minutes, and just to be respectful of the lesson pastor is going to be coming forth with, and to give others an opportunity to call in. If you have a question, I'll get to you as soon as I can, and we'll do our very best through the Holy Spirit to answer your question. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on my first brother. He's our eldest brother. God bless you, Brother Nathaniel. How are you?
God bless you, Brother Manny. Doing fine, doing fine. Yourself?
I'm doing great, brother. Good to hear from you today. And I'm going to bring on our other brother, the pastor, our pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis. God bless you, Rev. You there?
Yes, sir. God bless you, Manny. God bless you, Brother Nate. Glad to be on
God
tonight, as always. As always, glad to be on.
Amen. Well, Pastor Murphy, we're going to jump right in. If you don't mind, could you start us off in prayer, and you can go right into your lesson.
Yes, sir. Father God, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for this opportunity to come on tonight, Father God, with this lesson. Father God, that we will have our understandings open, Father God. Today, God, when we pray, God, we understand clearly what you are saying back to us when we pray. And even when there's a no, God, that we have the right perspective, even when there is a no. And so, God, we pray, have your way. Let no flesh receive glory on tonight. But this is all about you. Prepare the hearts and minds of your people, God, to be receptive to your word, that we all may be transformed to look more and more like you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So as for a base scripture, I want us to go to Romans 8 and 28. I want this to be our base scripture for tonight. Because realistically, I don't think many people have ever looked at this particular verse from a perspective of it relating to prayer, but I kind of want to connect it tonight to show us that it has everything to do with prayer. It doesn't only deal with prayer, but it definitely is a point of reference when it comes to prayer, a perspective on prayer, and that will give us an understanding that shall change even how we pray. And so on tonight, we are going to talk about what it means when God says no, but equally as important, I want us to discuss why God may say no, because oftentimes we may hear no, or some of us may say, well, I haven't heard back from God, but oftentimes it has nothing to do with God not wanting to do something, but it has everything to do with how we might have asked. And even as the scripture says, we may have even asked amiss. And so I just want to go right into Romans 8 and 28, and it says, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So one thing I want to point out before we go any further is that this conversation that Paul is having with the people in this text, he's explaining to them that first and foremost, prayer is a place of access that is different from if you were just a sinner, if you were just an ordinary person. And I'm not of the thinking that God does not listen to sinners when they pray. I don't believe that. I believe God can listen to sinners as well as Christians. And even Christians when they're walking in carnality. And so I would never tell somebody, oh, well, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, so God does not hear you when you pray. I would never say that. But clearly here Paul is trying to encourage the people of God, because he says, and we know that for those who love God. So somebody would say, well, how do you know that's speaking to Christians? Well, this is where the continuity of Scripture comes in, because you go over to 1 John, I believe it is, or one of the epistles of John, the apostle, and he talks about it if we love God, then we will not practice sinning. And so that there is your qualifying factor as to those who are in the body of Christ or not, because we love God. And we know you cannot be a practicer of sin and be saved. You cannot be a practicer of sin and love God. And so Paul is making it abundantly clear, I'm talking to people within the body of Christ. He says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together, not just the good things, but the bad things, not just, amen, the vulnerabilities, but the victories, not just the trials, but the triumphs. All things work together for good, time for a purpose, for those who are called according to God's purpose. And so not only is this talking about prayer, but it's talking about having a relationship of prayer, because when he goes down here and says, according to God's purpose, you will not know God's purpose if you don't have a relationship with God. And it will then be impossible for you to pray what God tells you to pray in order for you, if you're not in relationship with God. And if you're not praying what God is telling you to pray, chances are God is going to say no to whatever it is you might be asking. But I want to delve into that just a little bit further. And so scriptures that it took me to talks about, I just want to read this, because we hear a lot about people talking about you can just pray and ask God anything. The scripture says pray and ask anything and he'll do it. And so God doesn't always say yes to our prayer request. Well, one of the reasons why is it might not be in the will of God. So that may get you, that's going to get you a no every single time. What I love about God, Brother Manny, and if you or Brother Nate want to jump in, just feel free to cut me off or whatever. But what I love about God is God cannot be pimped. We cannot play God. We cannot use God. We're not so smart that we can outsmart God. That we can we're gonna pretend like, oh no, I really love you, God, so give me everything I'm asking for. No, you can't fake God out. God knows if you full of cap or not. He knows.
Amen.
You know, he knows. He knows. And so it says that, is it the will of God? That's how you're gonna end up hearing a no. Well, of course, I'm not going to tell you stuff if I don't have scripture to back it up. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence which we have before him, God. If we ask things to his will, hears us. Ask anything according to what? God's will, then he hears us. We have God's attention when we're asking for his will to be done. Let me throw out an example, and then if one of you guys want to chime in, you can. If not, I got, as Mr. T said in Rocky III, I have a lot of mo. I got a lot of mo. So. When our mom was sick, us, if not all of us, prayed that God would heal our mother. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure for most of us, our prayer went something like, God, heal our mother. Nothing deep and profound, you know. God, heal my mother. She's going through what she's going through. Heal my mother, God. How many of us actually said, let your will be done concerning my mother? Because, speak for nobody else, there is a selfish part of us wanted our mom to stay here, you know, in our minds, essentially forever, or at least longer than, you know, God give her some more time. But the truth of the matter is, when you walk in relationship with God, you learn to understand that God doesn't do things the way we do things. He doesn't respond the way we respond, because God knows more and greater than we could even possibly imagine. And so he's God, he's sovereign, He can do what he wants, how he wants, and when he wants. And so for me, I've had to learn over the course of years to simply ask, God, let your will be done. And it's tough when it's a loved one, when it's a close loved one, because you want God's will to be what you want. God's will to be what you want.
Amen.
Time, what you want, God's will. So that is the first way you will hear a no from God, not in his will. I'll pause to catch the breath.
Amen.
Somebody else want to jump
Amen.
In.
Amen. Pastor.
Well, before we go to you, Nate, I just want to welcome on a guest here that may have a comment or a question. God bless you. You're on God's Word to Man. May I have your name and go ahead with your question. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Amen.
We hear you.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. We hear you. What's your name?
I was just listening.
Okay.
I'm Vice.
Go ahead.
I'm listening.
All right, then. Okay. We'll go ahead and let you listen. I'll come back to you a little bit later in case you have a comment or a question, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Brother Nate.
Okay. I agree with Pastor totally, because I find it funny that I won't say everybody, but I think a lot of Christians like this first part of that scripture. But when it comes to that second part, they want to ignore it. And like Pastor said, it all depends on what God's will is for you. If it's not for you, then it's not going to happen if you're not in right relationship with him. Just like Pastor has mentioned before, you know, there may be a job that you want, but you may not get it because it may not be in God's will for you to have that job, because he may have a better job for you lined up down the road, but you're looking at that job, but that job may not be what he has for you. It's all according to his will for our lives, and that's what we have to understand. We have to be in right relationship with God by first and foremost reading his word and getting a understanding of his word for our lives, that we can then access what is the will that he has for us and then operate in that will. But not a lot of us do that. Not a lot of us operate in that will for ourselves. We want all the benefits, but we don't want to do the work.
Amen. Amen. Great point, Brother Nathaniel. Great point. I just like to add, I like the word broken. Sometimes pursuit of surrender and total submission, somebody's will got to be broken. It ain't going to be God's.
Amen.
Amen.
That's something we need to think about. If you want true peace, if you want true joy, if you want to cast your cares truly on him, part of surrender means that you acknowledge he's Lord of your life. You don't have to acknowledge that he's Lord. He doesn't need your permission to be Lord. He's already Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
But if you want him to be Lord in your life, Lord means owner, ruler, master. Those types of the word I'm looking for, you're describing the relationship, this relationship that you're talking about. We have to identify what kind of relationship it is. We use the word relationship a lot, but how many of us really identify the type of relationship we're talking about? If you're talking about, forgive me for just the use of term, but a little hit it and quit it, that type of relationship is not going to get you where you need to be.
Amen.
When you talk about faithfulness or being faithful to the relationship, it draws a whole new meaning, a whole new type of experience, a whole different way of being, talking, acting, behaving. Like, when you are able to trust his will, when you're able to trust what his will is for your life, you're comfortable. You may not like it, and that's why I put on here, God, why not? Because you don't know it. I like when you point out, Rev, that God knows what lies ahead for every single choice you make, for everyone. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Having that type of knowledge to know what the outcome is, every decision that is made by everyone.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you trust a God like that? Go ahead, Pastor.
No, I mean, that's correct. And see, you'll never surrender. You use that surrender word, which is a good word for this discussion, right? But you will never surrender to somebody you don't know. And you will never trust somebody you don't know. And so most people don't really know God, even within the body of Christ. You have a surface relationship. You know what? You said the words. You accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And I'm not trying to be insulting to anybody. I'm just saying a lot of us, and I know for me, I for a long time just had a surface relationship. Yeah, I went up there. I said what I was supposed to say. And I felt like I got saved. Yeah, but listen, there should be fruit to prove what you say you said, to back up what you said. And even with prayer, when God says no, if you're really in relationship with God the way that we're supposed to be, no's okay with you, because what you realize is if God said no, then that's the best thing for me. See, you think you want yes every time, but the truth of the matter is we don't want yes every time, because if God said yes to everything, there's some yeses, especially there's some yeses that are, there are some no's that, oh, my God, thank you, Holy Spirit. There are some no's that have an expiration date on them. It's a no right now. But guess what? That no is going to expire at God's appointed time. And until that happens, it's a no. It needed to be a no. Pastor, listen. What did I say once before when we were teaching about Joseph and Mary when Jesus was born? You know, listen, they could not stay at the stable. Herod was looking for Jesus to kill him. So guess what? They had to leave. They had to leave. It wasn't Jesus' time. Jesus wasn't being a punk. God could have stopped whoever was pursuing Jesus in his tracks. But God has a way that he does things. He has the process of how he does things. And guess what? A lot of times that process is not working something out in God. It's working something out in us. Joseph and Mary, trust me? Are we in relationship? Mm-hmm. Well, heed what I'm telling you and take Jesus to where I'm telling you to take him. So for us, we have to be in such great relationship with God that we recognize his voice, whether it's audible, whether it's through his word. We cannot manufacture yeses. And we might as well be honest tonight. There are people within the body of Christ, and again, I know I have in times past, we'll manufacture a yes. God clearly said no, but we said, well, maybe he didn't mean no. Or to coin a phrase from the Garden of Eden, maybe he didn't mean we were going to surely die. So now all of a sudden, we found a way to get a yes. Well, God never said yes. Mm-hmm. I would have told you yes. And look at the end result. And that's how we know it was the devil and not God, because the end result, that word you use, surrender. But we will, no, even in a natural relationship, You'll never surrender to somebody if you don't fully trust them. And even in natural earthly relationships, you have to spend time getting to know people. We have to spend time in the Word to get to know God, time in prayer, time in fasting. We just can't come up with our own rules and regulations. God has come with that already. It's in His Word. And so we must learn to trust God even through the no. And so when He says no, guess what? Okay, God. Yes. I'm gonna live with the no. It's a permanent no. Guess what? That means that I never needed that. I thought I did, but apparently I don't. And so we gotta trust.
Amen.
God. If nobody else has anything else, I'll move on to my next scripture.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Go right ahead, Pastor.
So first I said, is it the will of God? Will of God, it's going to be no every single time. The other thing I want to ask is, did you pray it in faith? Maybe he said no because he didn't believe you believed what you was asking for when you asked it.
Amen.
Oftentimes we just go through the motion. Matthew 21 and 22, all things, ask in prayer. Believing, you will receive. Well, where is my faith level at? Asking, believing God's going to do it? Well, that points, again, back to relationship. We talked about surrendering. You won't surrender to nobody you won't trust. Guess what? You'll never believe nobody you don't trust either.
Amen.
A lot of us either know somebody that we're related to, or with liars. Oh, no liars. Trust, liar says. My question to the body of Christ is, why do we trust the father of lies? Why do we trust the devil when he says anything to us? when he tells us, oh, man, you know, everybody's doing something, that's a lie that he's using to kind of manipulate you, because the truth of the matter is everybody's not doing something. But even within the body of Christ, that's what comes out of the mouth of the people within the body of Christ. Everybody doing something. You don't know what everybody's doing. There are some people out here, believe it or not, they're not perfect, but they're not willfully sinning. Some of them are probably sinning and don't even know they sinned. Such thing as a sin of omission, I didn't know, or this or that. But that's a different heart posture when that happens. Those of us who wake up, who plot and plan and scheme and know we're going to do this, and but that's the devil trying to get you to trust in his perversion of the word of God. But when you know God for yourself, when you got a relationship with God for yourself, you can believe King for, because watch this, about faith. Start off, and y'all heard me say this before, and mustard seed faith. But your ultimate nation should be the gift of faith. So process should be a growth God. Excuse me. Faith factor, your faith factor. Well, when you know the Word of God, develop your relationship through the Word of God, you get to this place of gift of faith, because God is at the level of gift of faith. God is allowing you to access what he is saying directly to you. Saying it directly to you. This is what I want you to pray. You don't hesitate. You just pray it. You clearly heard God. God clearly tells you something. You go ahead and pray it, and it's going to come to pass in his timing. But if you're sitting around wondering and wavering, I'm not sure that if God's going to do this or not. That tells me you ain't been sitting in God's faith. It tells me you haven't been in his word, because that is what ought to develop your belief process, your trust process, your faith process, in his faith so much. I'm in his word so much that guess what? I know this. He's told me to pray it. So guess what? The pass. It's about to come to pass. We talk all the time about God for this or believing God for that. Believe, or are you just saying churchy and trendy? Do you really believe, or are you just touching and agreeing, or not touching and agreeing, but are you naming it and claiming? Do you have some real faith behind that? You guys want to make a comment real quick?
Go ahead, Brother Nate.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, a lot of people are, as we used to say, you know, been at church all their lives, and not actually in church to actually hear the word and learn the word. You know, like you said, you know, come there. Hey, praise the Lord, Brother Jim. Praise the Lord, Sister Sue. You know, oh, yes, blessed time in the Lord. Hallelujah. And then go right outside and start cussing up a storm. You know, so you already where that relationship is, that is non-existent. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I just think this, that we are in an end time season, and this is not a time to have a fake relationship. This is not a time to have you know, like they used to say, you know, they used to say guys, you know, he had an imaginary girlfriend. You know, this is not a time to have an imaginary relationship.
Amen.
And this is a season and a time where we need to hear from God, and we should not be moving without consulting God. We should not be making decisions without consulting God. But when God says no, we ought to know why he said no.
Mm-hmm.
The point that we can know. I'm not telling you that God's going to always be like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, this is why I said no. But when you're in relationship, it gives you some sort of perspective. You know that there's a short list of reasons why he might have said no. He might have said not right now. That's still a form of no. May have said no because what you just asked me is not in my will. Or he may have said no because what you just asked will put you in bondage. And God's never going to do that. And I want to bring up this other scripture that I have, because I've heard people misquote and misuse this scripture as well. Well, the Bible said the prayers of God is yea and amen. The prayers of God are not yes and amen. The scripture says. Do either one of you know what the scripture says? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Say that the prayers of God are yes and amen. That would contradict the will of God. He's not going to tell you yes about everything. And some things need to be a no, and they need to stay a no. Clear to the Corinthian church, he says the promises of God. Yes and amen. Well, why is he saying this? Why is he saying this? That when we pray, understand that God's promises are yes and amen. Because when you pray the promises of God, if God promised a thing and you line up with the covenant of the promise, guess what?
You will receive it.
God will never break his promise. Can you break the covenant? Yes. Can you break the conditions? Yes. God break his promise? No. And so that's why Paul can be emphatic.
Amen.
That's why Paul can be emphatic. Say, God, yes and amen. Back to this word again.
Yeah.
Been in such relationship with God that you know the promises of God. Do you know the when was the last time you prayed a covenant of God? Example of a covenant of God? If not, let me give you one. Prayers of the righteous availeth much. Pastor, how is that a covenant prayer? Well, he says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Whenever there's a condition set, what for the condition, it's covenant. It's a promise. Hey, cause of the prayer availing much? Right, it's right there in the text, right? The prayers of the righteous avail much. The point of the matter is that we have to be righteous. Righteousness that's imputed in us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. No, we have to practice living a righteous life. And when you practice living a righteous life, guess what? You are entitled to access to God. Well, it much means there's a priority placed on your prayer because you're living righteous. Let's be honest, y'all. Have either one of y'all, and I think I know the answer, but have you ever, and for those who are listening too, you know there are certain people when you show up need to get a prayer through, there are two types of lists you have when you show up need to get a prayer through. There are people you know you ain't going to call.
Mm-hmm.
They can get a prayer through, and then there's people on the list that you know they're going to get a prayer through.
Amen.
Mother all the time because they knew our mother had access. Why? Because of her – her name. Mom didn't really have a title like that. She was an evangelist. She did the work of an evangelist. I don't know if she was ever licensed or ordained, but God licensed and ordained her. But
amen.
Amen.
Because they knew she had a hotline. She had a bat phone, a red phone that went straight to the bosom of God.
Amen.
Yes and amen. Because anytime God promised, but if you meet the conditions, covenant. And so the next time we pray and we think we've heard a no, we need to check these things. We need to check the list. We shouldn't simply just give up and go, oh, well, check the boxes. After you check the boxes, said, okay, it was the will of God. Oh, yep, I did pray in faith. This was a promise. Oh, he still said no. Guess what? Good with that. Because that means that God knows something that I don't know, and he knows that it's going to be detrimental to me. So guess what? Ain't no need of me continuing to bug God, because the more you talk about it out loud, who else is listening?
Amen. Satan.
Amen.
Stuff will help make you think, oh, God changed his mind. Look at here. I remember when that church trend was out, naming and claiming, and people was going and putting their hands on cars and naming and claiming cars, and them jokers was getting repossessed. Houses was being foreclosed on. Why? I never told them to do that. Y'all just following the latest trend. God don't operate in trends. He operates in promises. God don't operate in trends. He operates in relationships. And if you don't, thank you, Holy Spirit, if you can't trust a no from God, you in more trouble than you know.
Amen.
If the only time you respond back to God is when he's saying yes, then there's something wrong. That's why when I pray, I say, God, thank you for the no's, God. God, thank you for the trials and tribulations. I don't want the trials and the tribulations, but I know I need them. They keep me humble. The face of God. They make me well-rounded. You guys want to comment real quick?
I think that Pastor, one of my favorite scriptures is found, I think, Matthew 6th chapter, 5th chapter. I have to look at it again, where he clearly, like one of those promises you talked about, where there's a requisite involved, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
6:33.
Amen. 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the other things will be added unto you. When you are seeking the heart of God, seeking the kingdom of God, seeking the righteousness of God, you don't have to worry about yes or no. That's just a different level of trust. So people who worry about the yeses and the noes.
Amen.
You may want to check your frequency of the seek, because when God says no, you understand that he may have just saved your life.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
You get happy, right? You get giddy because you say, oh, my, if he said no to that, I can only imagine what the yes is.
That's the whole
concept of Romans 8:28 in a nutshell. If he said no, I'm happy.
If he said
yes, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because it all works out for my good. It's really a cheat code if you really think about it, right?
I
win if he say no. I win if he say yes.
He
didn't let me just walk into some blind, some dark alley blind.
Come on now.
He didn't let me get in that brand new, and I know people like to hear about things. So here we go. He didn't let me get in that brand new Escalade that flipped over 12 times and paralyzed me. He didn't let me move into that house, that brand new big house on the hill that I always wanted. I wanted to be in this big house with 8 rooms and 13 bathrooms because I didn't experience a gas leak that blew that house up. For some people, the no meant that you didn't experience tragedy. The no
That's
meant
it. That's
you didn't
it.
Get sick. You didn't suffer, right? But we can't, we can't, the Bible says he foreknew. Oh, man, come on, man. He know the beginning from the end.
Hallelujah.
If he said no, you should thank him for saying no.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say this, my little testimony. I'm gonna give my little testimony real quick, and then I'm gonna turn it over to Brother Nathaniel for him to comment, and then we can come back to you, Rev, and you can wrap us up because we're coming down, and we got about another 14 minutes left. The job I got now, I did not want, and Rev, you can attest to this, and maybe you too, Nate. I know I told everybody. I said, man, I don't want this job. They don't pay enough. They ain't got this. They don't have that. God, what are you trying to show me? That I'm getting all these no's from all these other companies, companies I really want to go to work for. I didn't know. I'm your son. You know, we start throwing our royalty up in God's face, our placement, where we're placed, you know, in the kingdom. Lord, I'm your son. We start telling God who we are. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. You know how we do. Lord, you said, and the answer still no. And I was upset, too, that I had to take the job I got. Now, I was mad. I'm talking about warm every day until my pay changed, until I got a company card.
Come on now. Come on
until
now.
I got
Come
benefits
on.
That I wasn't expecting, until I got opportunities that I didn't know about, until they told me they'll pay for my entire master's degree. Don't worry about it.
Come on, man. Come on.
We don't see down the road.
That's
we don't know. That's why you got to keep trusting them. And guess what? All
That's
those
it.
Jobs that I wanted, I'm almost done. All those jobs that I wanted.
Take your time, man. Yeah.
They've been laying off people. They've been laying off people left and right.
Yeah.
My colleague just showed me one job at a place that he works, one job, got over 2,000 applicants in 24 hours.
Wow. Yeah.
So sometimes the no elevates you. Sometimes the no positions you. I promise it's the last thing. Sometimes the no will save your life and save your family life. Amen.
That's
Go
good.
Ahead, Brother Nate.
Amen. Well, you know, this scripture here, Romans, it just brings back to mind that all things work together, you know, as it says. And you never know what it is that's working on your behalf until it happens. You both know the story about how for so many years my youngest son, we could never communicate. I would call him, send him texts, you know, try to go by his house to find out, you know, why we weren't speaking. I couldn't understand. And I talked to a pastor, and, you know, he was like, well, you know, hey, just pray. Just pray about it. You know, and God has a way of having his will for you acknowledged when you least expect it. So a couple of Christmas ago, lo and behold, he shows up at my house with my grandson, who at the time was, I think, I had never seen my grandson other than pictures. And I had got him a Christmas gift. So he came by. I thought he was just going to come grab the gift and go. But he came and stayed, and we sat down and talked. And in doing so, we finally hashed out what was going on. And when he left, he grabbed me, gave me a big hug, and said, Dad, I love you. And you could feel that release of whatever the bitterness or hatred was, not knowing that a year later that I was going to lose my son on his birthday. And like you said, that question, I asked the Lord, why? Why? Why on my son's birthday would you take him? You know, I couldn't understand why, you know, But then God gave me that revelation of, I need you to recognize and humble yourself, because you need to know what true loss is. I mean, I hurt because we lost our mother, but it's a different kind of, I guess you say, pain when you lose your child, because no one wants to see their child go before them. I had to go through that to get a better understanding of what God needed me to do to make me stronger in him, because that was his will for me. At the time, I didn't understand it. At the time, like Pastor said, you know, we were at our mother's bedside day and night, night and day, you know, praying to God, God, heal our mother, heal our mother, you know. And he may be one of the few, and Brother Manny also, not, can't say about the other ones, but I did, you know, sit there, held my mother's hand and said, well, Mom, you know, though we want you to be healed and come back to us, whatever God's will is for your life, that's what is most important. So if your time is done, you know, go with God and be blessed. You know, we'll manage it, because our mother, grandmother, and our auntie who is still with us, God bless her, they have constantly prayed for all 11 of us. All 11 of our mother's children are still alive and blessed, still here. Not many people can say that all of their siblings are still here. For whatever reason, it may have gone on because of an accident or sickness or whatever the case may be, but all of 11 of our mother's children are here through the prayers and the will for our lives through God, because we all have a work to do. And that's one of the reasons why the three of us is here right now talking to you over radio, phone, whatever. You know, this is a teaching moment. This is a teaching tree. We're learning, we're growing, and we want everybody else to learn and grow with us, to be blessed, to get in God's word, to know God for yourself, because you'll have to stand for yourself when that day comes. So we need to get it right now while we can, before it's too late. And that's my comment.
Amen. I just, before you go, Pastor, I want to bring on our Auntie Mary and see if she has something to say. She's been listening to us this whole time. God bless you, Auntie Mary. Did you have something to say before we get off the line?
Well, praise God. It's a blessing to hear all three of you all. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, you got to be in the right place when the Lord tell you to pray for somebody. You got to drop everything, whether you know them or not, and start praying. I know one time he gave me a name, and I didn't even know the person. And I just started praying for him and everything. And so I said, well, that's all. I don't know that person. But he told me to pray for him, so I prayed for him. And he said, later on, he let me know. I asked my brother, I said, have you ever, my brother James, I said, have you ever, he was the pastor at that time, I said, have you ever heard the Lord tell you to drop everything and start praying for a person and standing in the gap for him and you didn't know him? And he said, I don't know about that now. I said, well, praise God, it happened to me, and I prayed for him, but I don't know him, you know. And then later on that day, he let me know who it was, and it was a lady I had worked with some years before. So when the Lord tell you, you got to be in the right place to drop everything and start praying for that person, whether you know them or not, do that, because the prayers of the righteous availeth much. That's what somebody had quoted over the air tonight, and that is so true. But you got to be in the right place and start praying for him, because he telleth in his word to lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us and run the race. And we got to run this race agreeing and agreeing on one accord and praying. And I thank the Lord for all of my nephews that's on the line tonight. Run the race. Lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset thee, and run that race. And that's what you all are doing. Praise God for you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor.
Thank you, Auntie Mary. God bless you. Appreciate your comments and your encouragement. And amen. I just want to close with this, that if we say we trust God like we claim we do, then a no from God should carry the same weight as a yes from God, because they're both in our favor. And so if we are not at that point, that's okay. It's something to strive for. But know that God loves us so much that whatever answer he gives us, it's the best answer for us. It really is. And so the best thing we can do is draw as close to God as we possibly can for as long as we can. And I'm going to tell y'all, growth means not staying at the same place. We shouldn't have the same testimony year after year. We should grow and have stronger testimonies, stronger amens. And I love your testimony, Brother Manny, because guess what? You could have quit and gave up and threw in the towel and quit in there. And God rewarded your patience. And so I thank God for your blessing. Amen. I thank God for the blessing that is Auntie Mary. And we just want to end with this. And we do thank everybody who came on, whether you had a comment or didn't. We thank you for joining us. But I just want to end with this. Remember, God cares, and so does the caring church. We love you, everybody. God bless. Good night.
God bless.